risk of being bitten, it's the cost of getting up. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And you have to decide, are you so concerned about being bitten that you're willing to spend the rest of your life laying dead, or is there something pumping down inside of you that says, bite me or not, I'm getting up. I'm going to be the best me. I'm going to do all I can do, even if it risks you hating me. I'm going for it.
This is the Potter's Touch.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. I am so blessed and so excited to have the opportunity to share the word with you. I'm excited about the word. I still get excited about the word. Been preaching 37 years. I still love his word. I love what it does in your life and in your heart. I love how it strengthens you. I love how it helps you. I've got a message that I believe you are going to love. Take a look. Do you know how strong the Pharaoh was? Do you know how powerful the Pharaoh was? If the Pharaoh said something, you did what the Pharaoh said. The Pharaoh told two little women, kill every male Hebrew child born. You didn't argue with the Pharaoh. It wasn't like you was going to jail. The Pharaoh would cut your head off, feed your kids' liver to you down your throat. The Pharaoh was the man, absolute, total monarchy and complete control. And yet, these two women decided, no, we're not doing that. And so they lied. Yeah, I ain't even gonna go into that. They lied a little bit. They said the Hebrew women are lively, and when they give birth, by the time we know anything, the baby just jump out. Just baby just jumps out. Just, I'm out. Old dumb Pharaoh, he had a lot of power, but he didn't have a lot of sense, and he didn't know nothing about women, so he didn't know how to argue, so he said, okay, stupid. So now he says, watch this. He says, every male child that popped out, kill him. Before he's 2 years old, kill every last one of them. And God let Moses pop out and hid him in the house. Now don't think of your house because you got too many rooms. This is the Hebrew slave house. Where do you hide a baby in a Hebrew slave house? Most of you have seen what African-American slave houses look like. This is a Hebrew slave house, thousands of years ago. Where you put the baby? God is masterful at hiding stuff. They searched the tent, they couldn't find it. The baby was hidden in the house. Then he takes it from one hiding and hides it in an ark. And puts it in an ark, a mud-covered, wood-framed artifact that was made to put things in that would float, and put it in the river with snakes. Your baby now. Picture your baby, your newborn, three-month-old baby is floating down the river with alligators. In the tempestuous rivers of the Nile, and God hid that baby, that opportunity with nothing around it but opposition, and God let it float through stuff that should have killed the baby. Is there anybody in here that has floated through some stuff that should have killed you, but God hid you and kept you alive? You didn't make it to where you made it because you swam with friends. This isn't skinny dipping somewhere back in Kentucky. No, you were swimming with people that was waiting to take a bite out of you and totally destroy you, and yet God hid you. They didn't perceive you correctly. They didn't know that you knew what you knew or could do what you knew. God will hide your greatest moments in a mess. Your greatest opportunity is always surrounded by woulda, coulda, shoulda, might, suppose, what if, next moment, can't be sure, anything could happen at any time, and yet he'll let you just slide right through it. Just slide right through it. And then point three in the Moses story, of all places to hide Moses, God now hides Moses in Pharaoh's house. I hope you're following what I'm saying. The guy who is trying to kill Moses, God uses his house to bless Moses. The guy who is searching everywhere, trying to find where Moses is, don't know he in the next room. His mom and them nursing him, and your daughter is paying the bill. God is masterful at hiding stuff. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He said, when I got ready to come into the earth realm, I hid myself. I wrapped myself up in flesh. I didn't move into the palace. I moved into the house of a carpenter. I was born of a virgin named Mary. I couldn't go to a medical facility. I gave birth to myself in a barn. I wrapped myself in swaddling clothes. I lay with goats and chicken in horse manure. They were looking everywhere for me and they couldn't find me. I walked amongst them and they did not recognize me. I healed amongst them. Yes. I'm talking about hidden treasure. God is masterful at hiding stuff. Oh, can I take you there? You want to go with me? Come on, let's go. He hid his wealth, his wisdom, his inheritance. He took it and put it where nobody would ever expect to find it. He hid it in you. Woo. So Paul says, I pray that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of his calling and what is his riches in the inheritance of the saints and the exceeding greatness of... Let me use another word. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Use another. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency may be of God. Watch. There is a cure for cancer. It's hidden in somebody's house. There is a cure for AIDS. It's hidden in somebody's house. There is a solution for your problem. It's hidden in your own spirit. There is an answer how to raise that child. It's hidden in your spirit. The wisdom you seek outside of you is somewhere down inside of you. God has put the answer to your question in your own spirit. That's why the enemy keeps you upset all the time, so that you don't have a calm spirit, so that you can search that house. But you ought to do like the woman who lost the coin and swept the floor and sweep the house until you find what you lost, because it's somewhere down inside of you, hidden in your house. All right, settle down. Get a muffin. I'm closing. I'm wondering, do you know how much God has hidden in you? Or are you so aware of the opposition that you never see yourself as an opportunity. I'm wondering if people don't date you because you introduce your opposition and not your opportunity. I'm wondering if people don't hire you because you don't see yourself as an answer to a problem. You see yourself as a need. So you go into the interview from the perspective of, I need the job. Why would somebody hire you because you have a need? People hire people who are an answer to their need. But because you approach everything from the perspective of your need, I'm wondering if you have been poorly marketed in your own marriage, where your spouse sees you as an opposition. When he dated you, he saw you as an opportunity. But somewhere along the way, you have become an opposition, and he is in your life doing like this. That has to be the answer. Because if they saw you as a straight opportunity, who wouldn't take an opportunity? So, to Jesus. Jesus now has had a transformation in his thinking that was facilitated by his associations. He's had a transformation in his thinking. Somebody said, say it again. that was facilitated by his associations. The people who are around you are your associations. And they have all to do with how much you transform or don't transform, because inevitably they are now feeding the feeder. That's why in a business people fight to get the CEO's ear, because they think themselves smart enough to manipulate the person at the top, and they figure if they can get his ear, they can manipulate his thinking, and whoever has his ear rules the roost. You go for the pretty office, I'm going for his ear, because if I get his ear, I think I'm so smart, I can whisper stuff that'll change things that are being done, and that's how they do that.
Still to come on The Potter's Touch.
If you can see opposition as an opportunity, you will have the power and the charisma and the education and the intellect and the articulation to speak to kings and princes, because they would have killed you if they'd have seen you coming. But God hid you in the house and brought you up through the process, and there you are, standing in a place where your grandmama never thought you'd get, and your mama never thought you'd get, and your first boyfriend thought you'd never get there, and your ex-wife hates it, but look at you.
We all face opposition, but know that it's not the end, it's just an opportunity.
Challenge of my life is to coexist between two things that are totally true yet opposing each other, and my perspective is the only thing that makes the difference.
Take hold of it and know that your time is now. This is your opportunity.
He hid his wisdom, his inheritance. He took it and put it where nobody would ever expect to find it. He hid it in you.
For your gift of any size, we want to give you This Is Your Opportunity on CD.
This is not an opposition. This is an opportunity.
When your gift is $70 or more, you will receive the entire Your Time Is Now series on DVD. When your gift is $140 or more, we also want to give you Mrs. Sarita Jake's new book for teens, The Princess Within, and the Tumblr mug set. Just visit us online or call 1-800-BISHOP-2. The year's most highly anticipated event is here. The wait is over. Woman, Thou Art Loosed 2014.
I just love being here. It's exciting. The speakers are awesome.
The lineup is incredible.
There's something you walk away with that you can't take from a DVD.
Things are happening. Lives are changing.
Being able to cut the cord of things that you've had in your past.
This is the life-changing event of the year.
And I'm so glad I did come here.
Definitely a movement.
Register today for Woman Thou Art Loosed 2014.
Jesus, though he is God, though he is omnipresent, omniscient, though he is all-powerful, omnipotent, they slam the door and Jesus said, is that how this is? Could it be that I am looking at my situation wrong? Is it that I have had the opposition so marketed to me that I don't see the opportunity? Could it be that God has hidden my opportunity in my opposition? When I look at you, am I so busy looking at the opposition that I no longer appreciate the opportunity? And now somebody else is whispering in your ear because they see you as an opportunity, and I'm handling you like an opposition, and the opportunity down inside of you is hungry for affirmation, and you cannot get that from me because we are so busy fighting that I cease to see you as an opportunity, and now you are. Let me go. Jesus now goes, slips into Judea. Not even his disciples know he's there. Nobody knows he's there. Jesus has already told them that he is not going into Judea because he has to wait for his time to come. Suddenly he says, wait a minute, this is my time. The Father has hidden my opportunity in my opposition. I wasn't looking at it clearly. Thank you, Lord, you put somebody around me with enough courage to challenge me to rethink how I see my own life. That's why you came to church this morning. If you came for any other reason, you didn't come to praise the Lord. You praise the Lord at the house. You didn't come to get your shout in. You can get your shout in at the house. You came so that I could feed your spirit with the kind of highbrow thinking that transitionalizes you from negativity to opportunity, so that you don't spend all week walking around talking about they could kill me, I ain't gonna do that, I guess they could destroy me, thinking in the flesh. For when you think in the spirit, you say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can walk through danger. I can swim with alligators. I can hide in Pharaoh's house. I can do whatever's got to be done. This is not an opposition. This is an opportunity. When they knew anything, Jesus is standing on stage. Standing on the stage in Judea, in the feast, with all these people gathered around, he opens up the book and starts to teach. And they were looking for him, and he walked right past them. Like Joseph walking in the midst of his brothers, he walked right past them. They were looking for him, and he walked right past him because God hid him. And he sees the opportunity because he no longer saw it as an opposition. And I close this text. Jesus is now standing on the stage of his haters. Oh, if we had time for another cup of coffee, I could tell you time after time after time after time, God led me and moved me and sent me this way and that way. And when I looked around, I was standing on the very stage that they said they'd never have you standing on. Because if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? Hallelujah to God. Now he's standing on the stage speaking to all the people of the world who have gathered around him. And if you don't mind swimming through a few gators to get to where you're trying to go, you could swim your way right into the palace. You could do like Moses and be educated like an Egyptian child, though you are a Hebrew, and come out speaking in all kinds of languages with all kinds of authority and government and leadership skills that your people never got, because God let you swim through the snakes that they were afraid to swim through, and you could stand in a position of power that you never stood in before. If you can see opposition as an opportunity, you will have the power and the charisma and the education and the intellect and the articulation to speak to kings and princes, because they would have killed you if they'd have seen you coming. But God hid you in the house and brought you up through the process, and there you are, standing in a place where your grandmama never thought you'd get, and your mama never thought you'd get, and your first boyfriend thought you'd never get there, and your ex-wife hates it, but look at you. I know this is not everybody's message. I know some of you will lay down and kill the baby because Pharaoh said so. And I know some of you will lay dead in the forest because you're scared of getting bit. And you don't need this message because you don't have the courage to swim with the sharks and move through the gators. But some of us have been waiting on somebody to give us the permission to break out of mediocrity and step into the power and the purpose of God. And I came to tell you, if you will throw your little rocks at the giant in your life, the rocks will bring you to the sword, and the sword will cut off his head. I came to tell you, you're going to use OPM, other people's money. And when David was ready for it, he reached in and pulled out what they thought was Goliath's sword, but Goliath was just holding it for David to get strong enough to be able to handle what God was going to release in him. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. God said, I will give you houses that you didn't build, and I will give you vineyards that you didn't grow. I'll let them build it, but it's your house. I'll let them grow it, but it's your vineyard. I'll let them hold that place, but it's your seat. I will open doors for you. This Sunday is a Sunday for dreamers. Surrounded by haters in a world full of opposition, you still yet dare to dream. Some of you are 20, and the dream comes easy because you're not running out of time. Some of you are 40 or 50 or 60, and you're starting to wonder, is it too late for me to achieve my dream? I'm running out of time, and look at my life. I pray for opportunities, and every time I turn around, something's fighting me. I got opposition. I got so many people who hate me. I got so many bills. I got so many liabilities. You know, I didn't finish school. You know, I didn't do this. You know, I didn't do that. There Jesus is standing on a stage, and the university people saying, how can he know that and he did not go to our university? That's what the last scripture says. How can he speak like that and we didn't make him who he is?
We'll be right back right after this.
We all face opposition, but know that it's not the end. It's just an opportunity.
Challenge of my life is to coexist between two things that are totally true, yet opposing each other, and my perspective is the only thing that makes a difference.
Take hold of it and know that your time is now. This is your opportunity.
He hid his wisdom, his inheritance. He took it and put it where nobody would ever expect to find it, he hid it in you.
For your gift of any size, we want to give you This Is Your Opportunity on CD.
This is not an opposition. This is an opportunity.
When your gift is $70 or more, you will receive the entire Your Time Is Now series on DVD. When your gift is $140 or more, we also want to give you Mrs. Sarita Jake's new book for teens, The Princess Within, and the Tumblr mug set. Just visit us online or call 1-800-BISHOP-2.
What makes a newborn make sucking noises? When a sea turtle is birthed on land, the first thing it does is start moving toward water. The caterpillar doesn't spin silk because he sees somebody else doing it. These are natural, innate instincts. There is an instinct to increase. There is an instinct to lead.
In his newest book, New York Times bestselling author T.D. Jakes gives you keys to true fulfillment when you align your actions with your instincts.
People need to go back to following their instincts.
Unleash your inborn drive. Purchase your copy wherever books are sold. Visit tdjakes.org. Available in stores everywhere.
The year's most highly anticipated event is here. The wait is over.
We're about to rock it out.
Woman Thou Art Loose 2014. With speakers, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Mrs. Sarita Jakes, Christine Kane, Dr. Jasmine Scullark, Dr. Claudette Copeland, Sarah Jakes, Pastor Van Moody. This is going to be epic. The wait is over. Woman Thou Art Loose 2014 in Atlanta, Georgia, October 2nd through 4th. Register today.
It's how you see that boy you raising. It's how you see him. If you look in his face and you're still angry with his daddy, he'll become what you call out of him. You have to see him as an opportunity. You got to let him have his own space. You got to let him breathe. You got to break the curse out of your perception off of him. You are cursing him with your attitude. You got to look at that little girl and see her like a star. And I don't care what she did. See her like a star with a baby in her belly. And whatever you see in her, she'll eventually come to. She'll eventually come to it. She may go through a whole lot of crazy stuff. But if she looks in your eyes and she keeps seeing a queen, she will become how you perceive her. If she looks in your eyes and you're calling her a slut and a tramp and a hoe, she will come to what you call out of her. It is in her. I don't care who had her. It is still in her. Hold her to a higher standard. I'm out of time. I've got to stop there, but it's been a real joy, a precious joy, a deep and fortifying blessing to share the word of the Lord with you and to be an instrument to encourage you. I pray he used me well. And I pray you become all that God has called you to be. And I pray above everything else that you do not quit. For you are closer now than when you first believed. God bless you. Hold on.